This week on the IBC podcast, we have our student speaker, Brandon Graham.
Is it still working? Yes. Awesome. Well, Zach, thank you for those kind words, my friend. It's definitely been a fun 3.5 years, and this is probably the last chapel I'm preaching, and it's a great honor to be behind this pulpit. I've had an honor of preaching chapel all 4 years since I've been here, and it's such a great honor to speak to my fellow peers, and I want to give honor to the IBC staff, Brother Kilman, Brother Gallion, Brother Rodenbush, and everybody else, and Zach, Georgian, and Becca for giving me this opportunity. It's nothing I take lightly. I just want to get into the word of the Lord today. I apologize for those that have, this will be the third time you've heard me this week, those that were on my MSA. Nolan and Jordan, I really don't care. They've been hearing me speak since birth, but everybody else, I apologize. My scripture will be 1 Samuel 16, and I'm going to be starting with verse 1, and we're going to be skipping around a little bit. 1 Samuel 16 says, also real quick, shout out to Aaron Romine for killing it, leading worship. If some of you don't know, he's a part of the greatest boy band ever, White on Rice. We don't go out much, but we are the greatest. And Blake, wow. That's my family right there. Okay, I'm done. So 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And verse number 3 says, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And let's skip down to verse number 6 of this passage. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And I'm going to skip down to verse 11. And it says, And Samuel said unto Jesse, and here are all thine children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal, and of beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. For just a few moments this morning, I would like to just speak on the title of The Call. The Call. I wonder if we could just go before the Lord in prayer this morning. God, I ask that you would just anoint this message right now, Lord, that you would anoint my lips to speak and anoint the minds to receive and the ears to hear. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this place and for what you've already done through the word. And I give you great all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I'm ready. This 2016 was probably one of the craziest years ever. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series, which left Zach Kidder sitting on Jordan's couch just going, wow, I can't believe it. The Golden State Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. And Donald Trump became president. That one was amazing. And it started just a crazy, weird 2017. Because after that election, I don't know if many of you knew, there were a bunch of riots. And these riots actually had a purpose. These were people that were saying, not my president, because they didn't want Donald Trump. And I'm not making this a political message, but they did not want this man that they viewed did not connect with them. See, because they saw him as this man that didn't come from the same background as them. He didn't have the same values as them. So what are they going to do? They're going to cry out for something greater to hear them. They're going to cry out for something, somebody to hear them, hoping for a change. Hoping that they can get somebody's ear and that there can be a change in their life and a change in the circumstance and a change in the situation, because right now it's not the situation that they want to be in and it's not the situation that they need. We live in a world today that needs someone to stand and for them to speak and for them to hear, because the message of this world is not a message that is going to prosper. You see, these people are replacing God in their lives in a sense. When they are crying out, not my president, they are crying out for the government body to hear them. They're crying out for their representatives or somebody, the Electoral College voters, to hear their cry and maybe change the circumstance. And maybe that will make everything better. Maybe if we get another presidential candidate in there, or maybe if we get another man or another woman, or maybe if we just get rid of democracy itself and switch to a socialist society, maybe it's all going to be better, because right now it's not working out for me. That's the view of this world right now. And I view those riots not as people crying that they didn't get their way. I mean, that is some of it, but another part of it, there are real people that are hurting. There are real people that it really didn't help them that Donald Trump became president. Because, see, they viewed another person as their savior. And, see, we can fall in the same line of a man cannot save us. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A political figure will not save us. They need somebody to speak. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We live in a time today where the voice of God is calling all of us, and is the most solid thing we have in this world, is the calling of God on our lives. You see, your calling defines who you are, and you were chosen to do something for God and by God. None of us are here by happenstance. None of us just woke up one day and said, I'm just going to do the work of the Lord. There was a process. There was a growing. And there was a calling. I have 3 points that I want to apply to our call today. 3 points. Number one, your calling is not even yours. Your calling is not yours. It is so easy for us to understand that we are called. Some of us have been preaching and singing and playing an instrument our whole lives and serving in Sunday school and serving in departments in our churches. And it's so easy to say, you know, well, I've been doing ministry for years. I know I'm going to do something for God. Sometimes it's so easy for some of us to say that. But it's so easy to fall onto the other line where, man, I'm good at this. Man, I can get up in front of a crowd and I can move people, or I can get up and I can sing and I can amass crowds. It's so easy for us to get carried away with what God has blessed us with. And you see, in Genesis, Adam was told by God, care for the garden. He said, care for everything in this garden, the animals, the plants, everything. It's yours. You and Eve can live in it, care for it all you want. I have some rules, though. Here's how I know that God called them to care for it, because he said, you can eat of every tree but that tree. There were some rules applied because it wasn't their garden. If you ask somebody at a house sit for you, you're going to say, you know, you can eat the food out of my fridge and you can do this, but I have some rules. You got to let the dog out because it's my house and I don't want my dog destroying the house. Care for it. Care for it. God has done the same thing with us. He has asked us to care for his ministry. See, when he called you, he did not call you so that you could have a pulpit. He did not call you so that you could hold a microphone. He did not call you so that you could hold a position. He called you so you could minister. He called you so that you could speak to the lost and dying. When Jesus stood up and said, God hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to the sick and to the hurting, that was a call of ministry. It was not a call of, this is my pulpit and this is where I'm going to stand and this is my political statement. This was a call of, there are people hurting, there are people dying, and there are people lost, and I am called to let them know of the God I serve. It's not a kingdom thing. It's not our kingdom, it's thy kingdom. The name Brandon Graham doesn't mean anything. Your name doesn't mean anything because your name's not going to save. It doesn't matter what you even do here. It doesn't matter the positions you hold here. So what if you're not in an IBC praise? So what if you're not the student body president? Nobody's going to remember that when they're lost in drugs and alcohol right now. That doesn't matter to them. You know what matters is the fact that you have an answer. They've searched all over and they can't find it. And you walk into a city or you walk into... country and you say, Jesus Christ has come to set you free and their life is changed. That's what matters. It's not an earthly kingdom. God has given you ability and talents to minister through him and his anointing. So that leads me to point number two. Your calling is not based on talent. You see, we need to get some background of David. When we look at the story of David, we read that Samuel has been sent by God to find a new king of Israel. David was the youngest son of Jesse, and to understand, I had to ask myself, why is Jesse so important? You see, Jesse was a very prominent man in the city of Bethlehem, and he was also a prominent member of the tribe of Judah. At the time, the tribe of Judah was the only tribe that had not sided with King Saul. And so Jesse he had eight sons. He was the grandson of Ruth and Boaz. And God tells Samuel, go to Jesse's house, which the way I read it is he probably knew Jesse. There's a chance he probably knew Jesse. So he goes to Jesse's house and he says, you know, God's brought me here because one of your sons is going to become king. And the Bible says he trots out seven of his sons. And one by one, Samuel says, that's not the one. No, that's not the one, and that's not the one. And he says, Jesse, do you have any other sons? Because I don't feel a release from here, and none of these guys are any good. And he says, well, I have one. I have one son. He's the youngest, and he cared for the sheep. And he says, bring him forth. And as soon as David walks in the room, God says, that's the one. You see, the reason Jesse sent out his other seven sons, I believe, is because they were most likely stronger and more skilled as a warrior than what David was. And Jesse, thinking he's coming looking for a king, and he's coming looking for somebody who can fight, somebody who can conquer. And it's so easy sometimes that we can look at people who have abilities and talents and we're like, man, they're doing great things. But all they're doing is conquering, they're not serving. That's why David was picked, was because God was not looking for a warrior. God was not that's all Israel wanted was a king to deliver them. And that's never what God wanted to bring. Even when Jesus came, he comes riding in on a donkey and they're like, throw off the Romans, throw off everybody, liberate us. And they were ready to give him a sword and they were ready to give him weaponry and they were ready to give him men to take over. And he says, that's not what I came to do. You see, if we keep seeking talent, we'll find it, but we won't find anointing. In fact, I fear sometimes, Brother Kilman, that we confuse talent with the anointing. People are able to get up and speak, and it's amazing. I've heard some great orators before. I've heard some great singers. John Legend can sing, but he's not anointed. He's more talented than any gospel artist I've ever heard, but he's not anointed. And there's some people that can come into church, and they can play an instrument, and it sounds really cool, but there's no power and there's no freedom behind it and there's no anointing. And we get so bogged down because sometimes we get caught up and man, they're anointed, but they're not anointed. They're just talented. And it's easy to find ourselves putting ourselves down because I'm not talented like they are. I can't sing like they can. I can't preach. I can't even put together two sentences without tripping over my words. But that doesn't matter to God. Because if he wanted somebody with talent, he would have taken one of the other sons. And he would have made them king of Israel. But instead he said, I want this boy David, the one who Jesse's trying to hide. I want this one where all he does is he just serves his father and watches after the sheep. And that's all he does. But that's, you know what, he's got a heart after me. Because if you ever want to get anywhere, you have to serve. And we all know that. But sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Don't get caught up with the talent. Don't get caught up with who's got the skill and who's got this, because that doesn't matter. Some of you are so talented, but you have to remember that talent without anointing is nothing. And it won't save and it won't bring people to God. It'll bring people to yourself. The anointing is not limited to a gift set. I know this because when David faced Goliath, the first thing David said was, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" You see, all the warriors were scared. And David walks out there and he says, Who are you? Why, you're uncircumcised. You're not in covenant with God. And see, I understand that I'm in covenant with God. And when I understand I'm in covenant with God, it doesn't matter the talents I have. It doesn't matter what little ability I have. It matters about the anointing that I'm under. Because when I walk in him, see, they come at you with a sword and a spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. Because that's what's going to take care of every problem. You're going to walk into cities and you're going to walk into countries. And there's going to be things that are just bogging you down. There's going to be spirits attacking people. And you know what? You can't go in there with a cute message. And you can't go in there with a song that sounds good and it's got the frills and it's got the runs. That's not going to do it. But when you sit down and you look at it and you have the anointing of God on your life, it's going to set people free. The anointing is not talent. Point number three, you are called. You are called. A few weeks ago, Luke Stumbo and I were sitting in my room, and we were just discussing everything under the sun. You know, just life, friendship, how crazy IBC is, how crazy it is I'm almost done, Soviet Russia, all that. And we started talking about, I started talking about asking him questions about his family. And because I'm a person, I ask questions. I ask tough questions. I ask questions that are going to make you think, man, this dude's annoying. I just like to learn things about people. And I asked, Luke started to tell me this story about how his dad came to Russia. And correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, just stand up and yell at me. He's not going to do it. That's why I said that. And he said, you know, for 2 years, my dad didn't have anybody come to church. For 2 years, nobody came to church. How amazing that is that I wouldn't stay. And it'd be so easy to just give up and walk away because after 2 years, you think, I failed. There's nobody coming to church. There's no reason for me to stay here. But Luke said something, you know, my dad knew he was called there. He knew he was supposed to be in the country of Russia. He knew he was supposed to be there. And the things that had worked out before, and see, sometimes it's going to be hard because you're going to go into places and you're going to think, I'm not even called. And you have to go back to the testimony that you have.